Moments of Vertical, a production of Kentwood Community Church. Each week, we bring you the message from our teaching team. We hope that the message will help you reach out to our community and raise up a body of believers.
Well, today we are starting a new series called I Don't Know What to Say To. Really, a series to challenge us to be verbal about our faith, to share with others the truth and the hope that we have found through Jesus Christ. Our first inclination was to jump right into the topic and talk about some truths to share with a specific group of people that you might find difficult to engage in spiritual conversations with. But the more we talked, the more we realized that it's not just what we say, but it's also very important to examine our reasons for saying it, to know when to say it and when not to, and to talk about what is it that we're supposed to have as our approach. How do we communicate these things? So this week really serves as an introduction to the remainder of this series so that we are primed to communicate God's truth in a way that connects with others. You know, you may be saying, well, faith is supposed to be a private thing, right? I mean, we've all heard that the best way to shut down a conversation is to talk about what? Politics and religion, right? It's so much safer to talk about royal weddings and NFL football draft and spring storms this week, at least. But our faith was never meant to be private. Personal, yes, but private, no. We challenged the people who walked across the bridge last week. We said one of the first things you need to do is you need to tell somebody about it. Tell someone about your decision. Tell someone about the hope that you have found in Jesus Christ. It's not just for those seasoned believers or people further along in their spiritual journey. Every one of us is sent by God, is called by God to share with others the truth. One example of a scripture that speaks to that and commands us to that comes in 2 Corinthians. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses the professionals, uses televangelists, uses the people who are paid to do this, uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere." Now, when I hear that phrase, spread the aroma, it takes me back to my rural upbringings in northern Indiana about this time of year. The farmers who lived around me were spreading an aroma, that's for sure. It wasn't necessarily a pleasing one, and when you stepped out your door and you smelled the manure on the fields, it repelled you and sent you right back inside. On the flip side of that, when we were in California, we frequented Disneyland quite often. My husband worked for Disneyland for 5 years, and so every time we went, he blessed us or perhaps tortured us with Disney trivia. And one piece of Disney trivia that he always seemed to share was that the fudge shop at the corner on Main Street USA in Disneyland had these huge fans that pumps out the aroma of the fudge into Main Street USA. And all these psychology studies have shown that it proves effective when people smell the fudge. It draws them in to experience it. Now, I want to ask you, is your motive for sharing the truth, sharing Christ, sharing God's word, done in love? Or is it something else? You see, if your motive for sharing truth with others, if your motive for saying things to them about biblical truth is to prove yourself as being spiritual, is to show that you are superior, is to prove a point or show them that you're right, then your aroma that you are spreading is a lot like what the farmers are putting on the fields. It's going to repel people, make them go further from God. But if your motive for sharing truth with others is a genuine love for God and a love for other people, then that's the aroma of the knowledge of God that is sweet and that draws people to experience God for themselves. Our motives matter when we are verbal about our faith. So many times when we challenge people to be verbal about their faith, they say, I can't do that. I'm an introvert. That's not my personality. It's not how I roll. It's not kind of how I do things. And look at what it says in the next a few verses down here in 2 Corinthians 3:5. It says, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. It's not about us. It's not about how skilled, how smooth we are. Our competence comes from God. You know, so many of you last weekend got out of your comfort zones and invited people to join you for worship for Easter. That was incredible. And many of you did that for Christmas Eve services as well. We love that. But you know, it's not just something we're to do a couple times a year. Speaking truth, being verbal about our faith is something that is just part of the lifestyle of a Christ follower. It's an important spiritual habit. Well, change theorists say that there are two questions that must be answered in order for somebody to make something a habit in their life. First, is it worth it? And second, can I do it? And I pray that as we dig into God's Word together this morning, that you will walk away confidently saying, yes, yes, it is worth it. And yes, with God's help, I can do it. Will you join me for a word of prayer as we jump into a passage in Colossians? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning knowing that we are completely inadequate to share your truth. But our competence comes from you and you alone. God, we pray that we might have pure motives in sharing your truth, that it be purely out of a genuine love for you and a love for the world around us, the people around us. God, may we tune into your word this morning. May we not only hear it, but may we live it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Colossians. Verse 4. As we think about being verbal about our faith, something that we need to consider is this. In order to be ready to share God's truth, we need to be living authentically. Our lives need to reflect the truth that we say we believe. Look at beginning of verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Now, Paul here is communicating this to the Colossian church, a group of believers, and there's an assumption that he makes in this verse that we can't miss, and that is this, that the Colossian church, these believers, are engaging, are in relationship with those who are outside of their circle. They're not just kind of huddled together doing their own thing and they're the only ones that each other knows. They're out rubbing elbows with people who don't know Jesus. And that's what we're called to do as well. If someone were to ask you, what's KCC's approach to outreach? Or what is KCC's philosophy of evangelism? We would say, it's all about relationships. It is relational. It is getting to know others and looking for the opportunities that we might have to influence them for Christ. It's all about relationships. That's even reflected in our vision of the church. We are to be a diverse community where people experience authentic relationships. And as those relationships happen, that's when people hear the message of hope and freedom of Jesus Christ. When they experience our unconditional love as we selflessly serve people, then we have the opportunity to passionately cultivate real life change. Do you see how it all hinges on relationships? Does your life reflect the real life that we are telling people is possible to experience in Christ? Is yours a life filled with hope, with joy, with peace, with purpose? Are you a person of compassion? Are you a person of forgiveness? That's what it is to live authentically. I had a conversation with a young adult not so long ago. It was one of those awkward things where her parents wanted me to talk to her, but it wasn't necessarily her that wanted to talk to me. We get those sometimes as pastors. And so her parents said she's resistant to spiritual things. We don't know what to do with her. She won't come to church with us. So meet with her, Pastor Kathy. It was kind of like, fix her, would you? So I got together with her at a coffee shop, and we talked, got to know each other a little bit, and I said, let's just be honest. You know why you're here. I know why you're here. I know you don't want to be here. But what's your deal? Why is it that you're resistant to spiritual things? Why won't you go to church with your folks? And she hem-hawed around a little bit, and I could tell there was more to it. And so I said to her, I said, look, I am not going to give a report back to your parents. You can be honest with me. And she said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, you can trust me. She said, Kathy, here's the deal. My mom is a primary example of what it is to be a committed Christian, and she's the most miserable person I have ever known. And if that's what it is to follow Jesus, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Made me think. If you are the primary example in someone's life of what it is to be a Jesus follower, is that attractive to them? Is your life consistent with what Scripture says is an abundant life? I know that so many of you get this. A great example came in baptism testimonies a few months ago when Julie Holler shared about Tom and Betty, Casey Sears, who were her neighbors. And they started just loving on her, and they started sharing with her, and their life reflected what they were sharing. And it was so attractive to her that eventually she came to church with them. She came to know the Lord. She's been baptized. Her life has been absolutely transformed, but it started with the authentic living of her neighbors. And you know, it's kind of dangerous when we let others know that we are Christ followers, because then their eyes are on us. Real accountability comes with that, doesn't it? You know who I think does almost the best job of this around here is our students. Sitting up here typically at the 11 o'clock service, our middle school students, our high school students. Over 100 KCC students are involved in Claim Your Campus ministries at their schools. Weekly, they gather in circles to pray for their peers, for their school. And while they are praying, their peers, their community, are walking right by them and taking note of who's there. They put themselves out there, and then their peers are looking to see, what is this? Is there something to this Jesus that they say they follow? So we are challenged to live authentically. Is your life consistent with what it is you say that you believe? Well, sometimes I think we say, yeah, I'm following Jesus. My life is consistent. And so isn't that enough? I mean, doesn't my life speak for itself? And if I'm doing this right, then won't people notice? And then they'll come to me, and aren't I exempt from really saying anything? And to that I say, no. Your living an authentic life doesn't exempt you from speaking truth. That's what qualifies you to speak the truth effectively. So we must not only be ready, but we must be set. We must be primed to share our faith by looking for opportunities to speak truth into people's lives. Look at what this says. The second half of verse 5 says, make the most of every opportunity. Paul is communicating with a sense of urgency here. He's saying, Colossian church, the opportunities around you are endless. But wake up. Open your eyes. Make the most of every one of them. This is urgent. The stakes are high. People's eternities are at stake. People living purpose-filled lives is at stake. The truth being known is at stake. Make the most of every opportunity. Now, the word used for opportunity here, the Greek root word is Kairos, and that can also be translated as season. And for me, that really resonates, because this would then read, make the most of every season. Make the most of every season of your life to share Jesus, to share truth with others. And the reason I think that's so powerful is I so often use my season of life as an excuse not to be intentional about sharing my faith. You know how it goes. God, I have little kids. I'm so busy. The only places I really am are church, their school, and home. Not a lot of opportunities there. And you get it. You know it'll change when they get older, right? Or for others of you, you may be saying, I'm single, and I think this would be really easier to do in a season of life when I kind of have a partner in crime to do it with. And so I'm going to wait until that happens. And then empty nesters say, it was so much easier when our kids were little and we could talk with other parents along the sidelines at the soccer field. And so, God, you get that this season doesn't really work. And do you see the excuses that we make? The procrastination that happens? There was a little boy who was in Sunday school class, and they were learning all these meanings for big church words, like justification and redemption and sanctification. And in school that week, one of their vocabulary words was procrastination. And his teacher said, "Does anybody know what this word means?" And he raised his hand. He said, "I don't know exactly, but I'm pretty sure it's something my church really believes in." Oh, that might not be true of us when it comes to sharing our faith. Another excuse that we may have is this. I don't know anybody who doesn't know the truth. Now, for many of you, that's not the case. You have people you work with who don't know Jesus and who don't know truth, your neighbors, perhaps family. But there are some of you who say, you know what, my neighbors are believers, my family's believers, my coworkers are believers. And that doesn't mean that you're exempt from the command in Scripture to share your faith. It just means you need to be a little more creative about finding the opportunities. Now, I'll be real honest with you. This is something pastors struggle with all the time because most of the time we're with church people and we work in a church and our most natural lines of relationships are with believers. And so we have to get creative. A little over a year ago, Pastor Phil, our global outreach pastor, was real honest. He said, "I have a problem." We said, "What?" He said, "I'm the outreach pastor and I don't know any people who don't know Jesus. That's a problem." We said, "Yeah, that is a problem. What are you going to do about it?" So Pastor Phil has joined a table tennis league in Grand Rapids. Every week he's playing ping pong. He would get after me for calling it ping pong. It's table tennis. With people who don't know Jesus, and he's getting opportunities to share truth with them. Pastor Ian is an avid garage sale guy. Did you know that about him? If you need a deal on something, put a bug in his ear and he will find it for you. He's a treasure seeker. But you know, he's finding that there are other crazy garage sale people too. And so he's seeing the same people over and over again, weekend after weekend. And he's seizing those opportunities to build relationships with those people in order that he might speak truth. Pastor Brandt goes to the same coffee shop every week, not because that coffee is so great, but because he's beginning to see people there and build relationships with them. Why do I go to story time at the Kentwood Library 10 o'clock every Wednesday morning? Not because I always want to get my kids rounded up and in the car and go. It's because there are moms there who don't know Jesus that I'm building relationships with. Sometimes we just need to get creative in order to recognize the opportunities. When it comes to recognizing opportunities, the most important thing to know is we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Do you pray when you leave your door to go on a walk in your neighborhood that you might have an opportunity to share Jesus with someone? Do you pray before you pick up the phone to call someone? Do you pray before you go out for lunch with someone? Are you prayerfully considering what opportunities might be right under your nose? We not only need to be sensitive to when God wants us to speak the truth, but we also need to be sensitive through the Holy Spirit as to when we need to keep our mouths shut and listen to the other person. My 2.5-year-old put me in time out this week for not having my listening ears on, and I didn't buck it too much and went and sat on the end of the couch for 5 minutes because she was right. She called me on the carpet. May we not need to be put into time out for just spewing truth at people. Sometimes the most important thing we can do is to listen to them. And then as the Holy Spirit prompts us, know when the time is right for us to speak truth in their lives. So are you regularly praying for opportunities to speak God's truth? Well, we're ready by living authentically. We're set by looking for those opportunities. And all too often, that's where we get stuck. And one of the reasons I think it is we psych ourselves out of speaking truth into people's lives, don't we? We assume that they're not interested. And we play out the conversation in our mind before it ever happens. Okay, if I say this, then they're going to slam the door in my face and they're going to reject me. Then they're not going to like me anymore. And if it's someone in your family, then you're like, then that's going to make grandma mad and that's going to upset mom. So I'm just going to keep the peace and I'm not going to say anything because it's really going to turn out awful. Anybody else psych themselves out before the words ever come? What if our mindset changed? What if we assumed that when we have an opportunity to speak truth with someone, that the Holy Spirit is stirring in them, that they are hungry for what it is we have to say? How would that change your mindset that when you are prompted to speak truth, that you can assume that the Holy Spirit is working in conjunction with you to make that happen? Look at what it says in Colossians Verse 6, it says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." It's not just what we say, but it is how we say it. I think sometimes we confuse speaking boldly and honestly with speaking obnoxiously. It's not about getting on your soapbox and spewing truth at people or some boring monologue about something that they may or may not have an interest in. Ever been around Christians like that? Let's be honest, where you're cringing inside? The reason you're cringing is because that's not biblical. Listen to what the Bible says about how we are to communicate truth. Let your conversation, get that? It doesn't say let your monologue. Let your conversation, it's back and forth. It's asking perceptive questions, genuinely listening to their responses, and then sharing what it is that God has put on your heart to say. Be always full of grace. God calls us to be gracious. Seasoned with salt. Salt makes things tasteful. Is your conversation with others tasteful? Salt is also a preservative. Are you preserving the dignity of the person with whom you are communicating? The people in Paul's day would have known this phrase, seasoned with salt, as a challenge not to be boring. How spiritual does that sound? But to be relevant with the truth they are communicating. You see, it's not just important for you to communicate the truth, but it's to connect with the hearer so that you may have an answer for everyone. First Peter also has a great directive for us on this. In verse 15, it says this, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord." In other words, stay focused on Jesus when you are communicating this truth. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have." Be prepared. Part of being prepared is to know God's truth. We've made it very clear that discipleship at KCC isn't just to make a bunch of smart Christians. Yes, we want you to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ so that with the help of the Holy Spirit, you may speak God's truth to others, so that you may draw others to Him, so that you may be equipped to be an effective ministry to the world around you. That is the why behind everything we do here in terms of discipleship and spiritual growth. So do you know the truth? And giving an answer for the hope that you have really is about sharing your story. Have you reflected on how God has made a difference in your life? Have you thought it through enough that when you have opportunity to share it with another, it can just roll right off your tongue? What is the reason for the hope that you have? Well, I want you to think in your mind right now. Take a moment. Close your eyes if you need to. Picture someone that God has placed in your life that you think He may be calling you to speak truth, speak words of hope, words of freedom into their life. And I want to ask you a pretty tough question about that person. Is your love for that person greater than your fear of what their reaction might be when you speak truth to them? Is it? I pray that your love is greater, because that's what will answer the "is it worth it" question. Is it worth it to know the people you love are going to spend eternity with God? Is it worth it for the people that you love to find purpose, to find hope, to find freedom? Is it worth it for them to know Jesus and the life that God has for them? I pray that you say, yes, it is worth it. This summer, we're going to be talking a lot about keeping it real with our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, and you're going to be challenged week by week by Pastor Kyle to keep it real. Are you keeping it real? Are you building relationships? Are you looking for opportunities to share? Are you speaking truth into people's lives? But you don't have to wait for summer for that to happen. My charge to you today is ready, set, go. Key question for you to think about and to act upon this week. Who will you initiate a spiritual conversation with this week? Why don't you join me for a word of prayer? God, we thank you so much that you have given us hope, that we have found freedom in you, that we have discovered this real life that you came to give us. Lord, I pray that you fill us so with your love, love that first came from you, Lord, that we would love the people around us enough to share with them the truth of your son Jesus, to share with them the truth of your word. God, we know that you are bigger than any of our fears, any of our perceived inadequacies. And so I pray, God, that you fill every person in this room with the courage to be on the lookout for opportunities and to seize them as they come. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this weekend's message. If you would like more information on this topic, please call us at 455-1740. 616-455-1740. Or visit us online at www.kcconline.org. Thanks for listening, and may God bless you.